Hashtag SAFM Talking Point.
Well, let me welcome onto the show this morning Nomfundo Mogapi. She's the CEO of the Center for Mental Wellness and Leadership. We're going to be looking into the teenage pregnancy rate in the Eastern Cape, trying to understand it a bit better. Nomfundo, good morning to you. Thank you for your time this morning.
Good morning, Kathy. And good morning to the viewers at home, to the listeners at home.
It's great to have you on. I know we've been planning this conversation for some time. I'm glad that the diaries finally align.
Finally. It's good to reconnect. Such an important topic, actually, to talk about, Kathy.
Absolutely. Giyando Arika is the Deputy Director, Child Protection at the Department of Social Development. Good morning. Again? I'm going to ask you just to try that again. We didn't hear anything, Gian. Can you hear me loud and clear?
Yes, I can, Kathy.
Oh, fantastic. All right, we've got you on now. Thank you so much for your time as well. The purpose of this conversation is really, I think, to try and add a bit of meat to what we know as the headlines, that we have a problem of teenage pregnancy in our country, and we continue to see the levels of teenage pregnancy on the increase. But how do we as a society begin to better understand what is driving this high teenage pregnancy rate, and perhaps even what it is that we need to be doing differently? So, Nomfundo, I'm going to begin with you, because I know a number of years back already, you had started doing work with communities in the Eastern Cape, and teenage pregnancy was a big focus of that work. Tell us a bit more about it.
Yeah, so we worked in the Eastern Cape, mainly in Lusikisiki, and initially we came there because we wanted to address the high levels of rape and gender-based violence. We then subsequently realized that there was also high levels of substance abuse and alcohol abuse, high levels of mental health amongst the scholars, and also high levels of teenage pregnancy. So for us, Kathy, this indicated that teenage pregnancy is just one of the symptoms of a society or a community that has what I call it deeply, deeply troubled psyche. We did a research to just understand what is impacting the mental health and therefore some of these issues that we are finding within our schools. It was mainly with the matriculants, but I think there's a lot of information that has emerged there that begins to help us just to understand a little bit better as to what happens to the matriculants, their families, and their communities, and also to the teenagers in general that would have an impact on this teenage pregnancy, which for me is just one of the symptoms of a larger problem that our society is facing.
So when you set out to deal with the issue of rape and gender-based violence, what was it that you had identified in this particular community of Lusikisiki that led you there?
Yeah, so what we found was that based on the stats from the police, when we went to work there, Lusikisiki was actually considered to be number one in the hotspots of gender-based violence and rape. So we were really, really worried. And I think for us, what also didn't make sense was that historically, the villages or the rural communities used to be considered to be much safer and had less levels of rape. So we didn't understand this spike and increase. And our work was to go, first of all, and see how we're going to support the collective action in addressing that. But also, we went in to do a scoping exercise to really understand what are the drivers of this issue. And as I say, we then actually realized that there is this concoction of high levels of gender-based violence, of high levels of substance abuse, and also high levels of mental health, which and high levels of teenage pregnancy, which seem to come together, Kathy, and impact our youth. So whilst the younger women had high levels of teenage pregnancy, we find high levels of substance abuse amongst the younger men.
Gian, let me bring you in here because I know that the Department of Social Development has also set out to do some work in the Eastern Cape. In Lesukisiki in particular, what would you say you were able to learn about some of the societal challenges there and how, as Nomfundo is explaining, how there seems to be a multiplicity of issues that all conflate, to create this perfect storm, as it were?
Yes, Kathy. I think, as the previous speaker indicated, we look at, identifying what are the causes for children. I'm going to focus on the teenage pregnancy. Look, there are various issues that children experience. And the reasons that actually stand out and the root causes that stand out are the issues of poverty, are the issues of low levels of education, understanding peer relationships, understanding relationships by the child with adults, and also being lured into these kind of activities of sexual violations with the pretext of getting a better life by having gifts given to them or families being bribed into actually getting some kind of financial reward. So these are causes that have, these are the root causes that have created such a problem in respect of teenage pregnancy. Also inclusive of other issues, there are certain provinces where we find, also I'm moving away from the Eastern Cape, that parents, due to poverty, they will intentionally get their children pregnant by people they know, also maybe just to get some kind of financial reward. But added to that, parents are also now going to the level of actually introducing substances to their children while they're pregnant, so that the children then can have children with disabilities. And this then assists them, I'm using the word assist in a very relative form, to assist them then to access the disability grant, which is a higher level of income than actually getting the child support grant. So these are the kind of dynamics that families are experiencing, children are experiencing. They are being used by adults to actually engage in these activities, Kathy.
Kian, I'm speechless. Did you say that you have parents that are deliberately giving their pregnant children substances so that they can engineer effectively the outcomes of their child? To guarantee some kind of grant if the child is born with a disability, is that what you have seen? Seen it on a scale enough for you to say that it's one of the problems that you're having to deal with?
Yes, Kathy. This is a very, very serious problem, where, as I indicate, it's not in all provinces, but remember, when this kind of activity then spreads to other provinces, people will mimic this behavior and continue with it. There are pockets in certain provinces where parents are intentionally, because of poverty, low levels of education, children also being naive in certain situations, they allow the children to get pregnant. And then further to that, in order to access the state grant, at a higher level, remember the disability grant is much higher than the child support grant, then they will introduce substances to the children so that when the child is born, maybe it's fetal alcohol syndrome or whatever it is, the child is born with a disability. So this is a serious, serious problem. It's not all over the country, but there are certain pockets that these dynamics are actually rearing their head.
In which provinces would you say that you're seeing behavior like that?
It's in Mpumalanga and Limpopo right now. So these are things that, as I said, are very, very serious. The dynamics that are rearing their heads are also very critical and very difficult sometimes to address. Because parents also, remember, when you have access to a child as a State Department, sometimes you have to via the parents in order to have access to the child. And then you don't get that kind of direct access to the child. Remember, some of these children don't even attend school. Mm. They would rather be at home and be pregnant. So it also relates to a high school dropout. So the dynamics are emerging in different forms. So coming back to the issue of teenage pregnancies, I think maybe you're going to raise a question to me at a later point. I think it's important that we have a collaboration with government departments, which we do, excellent collaboration. But now we need to move a step further, where the SAPS now needs to bring charges against the perpetrators who have impregnated these children. So I think we need to move in that direction, because we cannot have a society of children having children. If a child is 10 years old and has a child at that age, remember, when that child is 20, will that child then become a granny because her child will now become pregnant at the age of 10? So it's a vicious cycle that we need to stop and eradicate the issue of teenage pregnancy.
Nomfundo, the word poverty has come up a lot in this conversation, and perhaps it's a good place for us to go back to. With some of the work that you did, and perhaps you can give us just some of the case studies, right, of people, of interactions that you were able to have. How does poverty lead to what we are seeing?
Yeah.
When it comes to rape and gender-based violence, when it comes to substance abuse, when it comes to teenage pregnancies, because if I'm listening to both of you, you're saying that all of these issues are interconnected. So where you see a high rate of teenage pregnancy, you're then also highly likely to have it accompanied by all of these other issues.
Yeah. So I think it's important, Kathy, first of all, just to say the stories that are being told. I'm having a physical reaction to just the stuff that our children have to go to. But I want to just highlight that when we are talking about poverty in South Africa, you've heard me talk about this before, Kathy, that it is really important to understand that it is poverty that is combined with a deeply, deeply broken and wounded society. And when we worked in these communities, their children told us that things have actually gotten worse. So the problem has gotten worse after COVID-19, because a lot of parents have lost their jobs. So we've had children who told us that they worry about food at home. So when they go outside and there's this older male that try to lure them and promise them money, some of them, the fact that they can bring food at home makes them to also be involved in these relationships. Some of the children talked about how they constantly worry about their parents. So the high levels of GBV, for example, one participant that we had said to us, I am constantly worried about my mom's safety due to GBV. And so as a result of that, just level of anxiety and constantly worrying, it is so easy, Kathy, when children are that worried to pull them in, give them alcohol, tell them that it will make them feel better. The other problem that we've also had, Kathy, is this sense. I mean, one young person said that I grew up not being given sex education. So when I became a young boy and I'm with my friends, they tell me that if I give a girl alcohol, then I own that person. So again, just that lack of education that is available, because most of the parents are spending their time. You can imagine, if you're living in poverty, you are so preoccupied with what are the children going to need to eat next? Is the food at home? What is happening? You don't even have time to sit down and talk to your children about issues of sexuality. It actually seems like It is a luxury. The other final issue, Kathy, around issues of poverty and the trauma of our society is this deep-seated issue around our own worth, you know. So our young people just learning that I am worthy, I am enough as a young woman. I don't need a man to define me or money to define me. But when you live in poverty, the desperation to get out, and in South Africa, it's not just getting out of poverty, it's getting out of this deep-seated trauma that comes to poverty, means that our children even put themselves at risk.
So you're having a situation where children then are forced to become providers, or they see themselves then as providers for their families, as needing to be part of the solution to the problem.
Yep. So on the other hand, you have these young people who are really worried about their family. They can see the situation at home. And of course, there's this lie that they get told that because you are a girl, you can be able to get access. So we have that problems at home. And then also we have this challenge of this broken society of older males who actually go out looking for these vulnerable young people, thinking if I buy them alcohol, if I buy them data, buy them food, I can have them. And also not educating a society that that is actually rape. So that puts our kids in even greater vulnerability. But also, Kathy, the other thing that we really do not talk about is the high levels of sexual abuse for younger people. Especially we found this a lot in the Eastern Cape and in KZN when we were doing our work. And what usually happens when there is poverty is that the perpetrators then come to the family and say, please don't take us to the police. Can we negotiate what we can do? We're going to pay you something for damages to this child. And again, that helps the family to alleviate the poverty that they have. So there is levels of complexity that combines the deep-seated pain and brokenness and wounding, and also the poverty that comes to it, and the parents who themselves are still very, very broken, Kathy. I always say that the way we treat our children is a direct proportionality to the relationship that we have with the inner child in us. There's a lot of us who now have children who never dealt with their own sexual violence, their own abuse. So how do you even protect your child and deal with your child if you actually haven't done this work?
Sure. So much for us to think about already. Nomfundo Mohapi is the CEO of the Center for Mental Wellness and Leadership, Giandwarika, Deputy Director, Child Protection at the Department of Social Development. Still so much for us to unpack in this conversation. We'll continue after the latest headlines.
The Talking Point with Kathy Mohlahlana. Weekdays, 9 a.m. till midday.
We continue the conversation on The Talking Point. We're focusing on teen pregnancies and trying to understand what is driving the high rate of teenage pregnancies that we see in the country. Our experts, of course, have done work in different parts of the country. We did kick off the conversation focusing on Lusikisiki, which, as you heard earlier, was the hotspot when it comes to rape and gender-based violence in the country. And Nomfundo and Gyan are still on the line. Gyan, I want to come to you then. The role of families, because it does sound like families are at the center of what is happening. What role do families play in enabling teenage pregnancies? And are you also finding a situation where families or young girls are being groomed, basically, into launching their sexual debuts early so that they can bring some kind of income or help support the family in some kind of way?
Yes, Kathy. You know, it's important to note that when in discussion with these teenage mothers, they would indicate to you that it was the lack of parental supervision that contributed to teenage pregnancy. Basically, the inability of parents and caregivers to communicate with their children and aspects of sexuality. You know, sometimes it's taboo in certain communities to talk about sexuality. And thus also, some families would request children to become pregnant so that they could increase the numbers in their household. And we don't know what's the reason for that, because maybe it's for actually increasing the economic in terms of the monies that they would receive, but it's not something that we can clearly state that that's a factor that families would want. We need to also look at the cultural factors associated with teenage pregnancy. You know, the expression of masculinity and femininity, cultural practice, traditions and beliefs, as well as the procreation and the legacy that sometimes families want their children to leave behind. Teenage mothers also indicate that they are pressurized by the elders in the family for them to have children and grandchildren as a legacy that they would leave behind. So when we look at teenage pregnancy, we can see the degeneration of morals and values within families. And parents themselves, as indicated earlier, they are also struggling in their own little space in terms of finding jobs, in terms of understanding what is going on in the world right now. We also need to look at, as much as we have communities where children are impregnated, but we also need to look at children that are lured online for sexual violations, sexual abuse, sexual exploitation, where children are also promised online that they would then benefit by engaging in these sexual activities. Last year, the department actually did an education and awareness program in the Nkomazi area in Mpumalanga. And it was really, really disturbing to find that the truck drivers that go across the border would stop at this particular community, and the children will engage in sexual activities with these truck drivers. And on return, the truck driver will just bring back a chicken to give to their family so that they would have a meal. So as I say, it's really scaring. It's not. I don't want to sound as an alarmist, but the problem is these are things what parents are allowing their children to actually engage in because of poverty. So, Kathy, it is very, very serious, and I think it's more parenting programs need to be in place to understand their roles and responsibilities in the care and protection of children.
So what does that tell us, Nomfundo, about what is maybe missing from our social protection net? Yes, we've got the child grant, we've got the disability grant, we've got the old age grant, but it does sound like there's something that is missing, which is why then you have this gap or this vacuum that is being created, where out of the sheer need, the sheer desperation of needing to eat, there are extreme measures that are being entered into.
Yeah, so Kathy, I mean, as I always say, that in our society, when we try to deal with the social ease, we tend to focus a lot on, you know, what I call the hardware of these social issues, such as policies, bringing in money, maybe increasing social workers. But I think we need to also focus on the software of these issues. So when we are talking about the family, what is the mental state of these parents and the way in which they themselves has grown up? What was the disruption? So in places like Ulusikisiki and a lot of the communities, in the Eastern Cape that have high levels of teenage pregnancy. It is communities where parents tend to move from the villages and they go to the towns to come and work and they leave the children. So there's something about the architecture of our economy that actually makes it difficult for the parents to be able to work and get their income and still be present for their children. So how do we begin to also address that deep-seated psyche that drives the economy? How do we make parents to also be aware of how they manage their own stress, trauma, and anxiety so they can manage better? And also, Kathy, I mean, the one thing for me, other societies, when they have social workers, that do the generic work, but they also have clinical social workers whose focus is on dealing with the psyche, the mental state of our own children, of the parents, of even the perpetrators in society. Our social workers don't have the capacity or time to do that. We still see the soft issues of the psyche as a luxury. Even now, Kathy, in media, we are hearing that social development has increased funds, right, on doing this kind of work. So we can go up and do education with children, but if a child is traumatized, they bring their survival brain and not their learning brain into the workshop that you are having. How do we do the hard work of addressing the brokenness of our psyche as a society, Kathy, and not just looking at the hardware issues, but also deal with the software issues that have been inherited, Kathy, from our history and continue to play themselves now?
I want to play this voice note, and I think it's a question, Nomfundo, to you on the issue of mental health that you've raised.
Morning, Kathy. This is Zanele Ndeben. Your guest kick off by mentioning the mental health, what they've discovered on the field there when they were doing their research. Could she explain that mental health? Because if some of us, like me, if you're talking about the mental health, we're just thinking of a person who is ohlanyayo, yabo, the person who is hitting people, or the person who is mentally disturbed. So if she is talking about the mental health, in which way? Because there are some other ways that we might not aware of. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for that question, Zanele. Nomfundo?
Oh, such an important question, Zanele. Thank you. So when we are talking about the psyche of our society, there's a number of things that we are talking about. For example, in the research that we did, our children told us that they've had 59% of them said they've had increased stress and anxiety. So stress and anxiety basically means that you are constantly worried, you can't relax. And if you cannot relax, Zanele, it means that the part of your brain that you need to be able to be a present parent that teaches your child, that guides them, gets deactivated, right? Because you are constant. And in our society, we haven't taught ourselves skills for being able to sufficiently manage anxiety and overwhelm. We've had, Kathy, 11% of the children we work with told us that they either attempted suicide or they've got suicidality. So you've got people who feel like they would rather live life. And the other thing is the high use of alcohol for us is usually an indication of people trying to deal with depression. So when we talk about mental health, I think to summarize it is that for us to be effective as parents, as social workers, as citizens of this country, we need to have an activated cerebral cortex. So that is the part of the brain that makes us human. But when we go through stress, through grief, through anxiety, through poverty, then we store that pain in another part of the brain that we call a limbic system. And that part of the brain is the one that results in more brokenness. So we have this lie in our society where we say, "I time will heal all things. I was about strong, you can't deal with it." But psychology is actually teaching us that if we keep on storing these painful things, they end up impacting how we parent. You know, Kathy, I was working with young women during August month. One of them was in tears and she said, I grew up ekhaya with violence. I saw my dad being violent. Before ngiza kule session, I beat my daughter. And I was close to killing her because she reminded me of my own trauma. So those are the kinds of things that we are talking about, to say that unless we find a way to heal ourselves, we are not able. You can hear all these things. You can be taught by social development, be a better parent. All of that theory is in your cerebral cortex. But if you don't heal what is in your limbic system, we will continue to sabotage ourselves. Most of the parents I've worked with don't go out wanting their kids to be pregnant, wanting to hurt their children, not wanting to teach their children. Actually, some of them feel almost paralyzed because they themselves have not done their own inner work with how they were parented. So they therefore don't know how to then parent their children.
As I'm listening to you speak, Nomfundo, I'm also thinking about, well, if all of this is happening, right, that there's so much work that we need to do, and yet people are still hungry, how can we expect that work can be done? Gian, how do we begin to solve this problem within the context we find ourselves in? Because yes, people may know that they're living with trauma, may be stressed, may be anxious, but as long as they don't have food on the table, that stress, that anxiety, it's not going anywhere.
Yes, Kathy, as Nomfundo outlined in terms of the mental health status, remember, trauma also has a key role in how you function. You know, whatever impacted on the child or the family, as Nomfundo gave an example of a mother who then also reacted because she was seeing this in her child. Now, when you look at these kind of elements in a child or in a family environment, it's direct services that need to be rendered to those particular persons. We look at children holistically. And as Nomfundo said, you look at children in terms of their economic environment, their psychological environment, their physical environment. You know, you need to look at how each aspect impacts on them. And then when you break it down, and Nomfundo also outlined the issue of generic services, that also becomes a challenge for the department and the NGO sector to actually address the issues of the mental health status of children. However, this, whatever affects the child, then manifests in other behaviors. So when we look at the behavior that the child is actually, the behavior that is being exposed due to the trauma, then there needs to be direct individual services to the child. One of the things would be counseling, psychosocial services. But remember, you're not really touching the root cause of the problem. You are just dealing with the child and the effects of that trauma on the child. Then you know, if a child was raped and then had a child through that episode of rape, we need to, as a community, we need to then advocate for that victim of rape, assist that particular child in all the processes that go through in terms of the issues of rape. And, you know, very importantly, the department has the 365 Days Child Protection Program of Action. And we identify particular communities where there are serious problems and what are the problems, where we then go into those communities and do education and awareness raising. And we do it on an intersectorial level with all government departments, NGOs, societies in that community, addressing specific needs, also engagement with children, identifying what their needs are. How can we assist them to move from that category of victim to a category of survivor? So these are things that we need to look at. Also the issues of life skills programs, you know, it's a whole issue that we need to look at. When we look at the community, remember the community also plays an important role. The awareness raising in the community, all stakeholders in the community also need to understand their roles and responsibilities in responding to children's needs.
Okay.
Importantly, okay.
I'm going to pause you there, Kian. We've got a break coming up. We'll continue the conversation shortly.
Okay.
Hashtag SAFM Talking Point.
Morning, Kathy. This is Matlati from Pretoria. Yeah, it's so true. Poverty, you know, is another cause for teenage pregnancy, because most families, you know, and most families where the man is the head of house, you know, most those families don't necessarily have opportunities, because opportunities are reserved for boys. And the girl child, they have to, you know, find a way of, you know, getting them married away, so that they, you know, they can, they don't have to fend and maintain that child, because it's a liability. So it's still prevalent in this day and age. I used to experience it way back then, about 30, 40 years ago, it was still happening. Because the girl child, you know, can just find a rich guy, you know, you have a car, find a boyfriend with a car, find a boyfriend, you know, who has a job, you know, do something. Otherwise, you'll get some pressure to get yourself married. Sure, it's hard.
Yeah, and it's something that can seem so simplistic off the face of it, right? But even the idea of get a boyfriend with a car, get a boyfriend with a job, and, you know, this is happening amongst young children in high school, and the impact of that, of course, it becomes what we discuss today. Anonymous, you're calling us from the Eastern Cape. Good morning.
No, about there is a lady who phone talking about, who sent in a voice note talking about mental health clinic or so what. You know, it's so true that our community is skating. We think we'll never accept we are getting sent into that. Is it because we are mentally disturbed or what? No, Mrs. Skate. I'm a working example. You see the stresses and the past experiences bottling up. I kept quiet for a long time. I'm a 40-year-old lady. I kept quiet for a long time since my childhood, up until the 16th of July, where I tried to commit suicide, suicide. But fortunately, it didn't go through. But now, as I was in hospital, the doctor and the psychologist decided that I should be taken into a mental health clinic, you see. The moment I heard that name, I told them, no, I'm not mad. Why now? Why are you taking me there? Because I'm not mad. Then it was explained to me, which, no, it's not that you are mad, but we are trying to assist you with the problems that you're having. So now I'm thinking of these young kids now who are growing up with these now experiences, bad experiences, with no one to talk to. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think awarenesses are needed.
And I guess, you know, Anonymous, is that people are living with so much pressure on a day-to-day basis that it seems we don't have the tools of how to deal with that pressure, how to deal with feeling overwhelmed, feeling that we just are not getting what we need to get done.
That is scary. And please forgive me for this, scary. You see, with us in the rural areas, black communities, we take these small things for granted. As one said, I was overstrong, yet I'm dying inside. Inside, I'm dying inside. But now, because the people saying I'm overstrong, I'm wearing the mask. I'm taking from my experience now. I was wearing the mask. People thought I was strong, not knowing that I'm dying inside until something triggered me. Just a small anyana something, it triggered me, and I thought, no, that's the end of the world for me. So awarenesses, and the communities to say, yes, if someone says he's got depression, we tend to look that person with another eye. You know, he thinks it's much better. Depression is for the people. How comes from a rural village saying he's got depression? No, because they think they've gone to such a school. Now they've got these, Ebon. All those things. These are the things that are happening within our communities.
Anonymous, I'm so sorry to hear about your ordeal, but I'm glad that you're getting the help and the support that you need. Sesno Mfundo, do you want to come in?
Kathy, you know, in since I started working full time in Center for Mental Wellness and Leadership, I've worked with thousands of people from corporate to the kinds of communities we're talking about. And I at times wonder if I have the right language to express the urgency of the issue and the levels of brokenness in our society, which is of course showing us all these symptoms of teenage pregnancy, of abuse, all of these things. And I think, all right, I mean, having grown Nami in rural Eastern Cape, there wasn't time to talk about these things. Actually, we would just say, "Aye, asonto zethu isn't osabanye abantu." But we are beginning to learn actually that this is our most important work. And I think that's what I wanted to really highlight. I'm glad social development is here because they are at the center in an absence of families, whilst we're still sorting ourselves out as families, whilst we're still healing, social development becomes an important vehicle. However, Kathy, I mean, social development at a national level has amazing programs. I've worked with them. They've got amazing social workers, but the reality is there's not enough of them. And most of them will say, you know, Nomfundo, I want to spend enough time on the awareness and the counseling. Anginasikhathi. And even when we went to Elusikisiki, we trained about 50 social workers. They themselves were absolutely burnt out. They have no capacity. They were empty. So there is something about strengthening the mental health of the public servants. We keep on throwing something to public servants to do the work, but even they themselves don't have the capacity to be able to do that. So I think my message to South Africa today is we need to do, yes, the hard work, family, dealing with school institutions, social development, gender equity, poverty. You can't not deal with poverty alleviation, but you also cannot deal with mental health. They have to come to together. But unless we wake up to this, Kathy, we will see we are now destroying a whole generation. These children should be rebuilding our society. But now they are ducking and diving our own wounds, finding themselves pregnant, having to carry over our own issues that we haven't dealt with as the adults who are experiencing these issues.
Gian, we are completely out of time. Let me give you perhaps an opportunity to give us your concluding remarks.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. I think it's important to note that we are having children that are having children. If they were not parented, there was a lack of parenting skills for them in terms of how their parents should have cared for and protected them. I can see another generation of neglected children where these children themselves do not have any parenting skills. And they would then not be able to implement anything to guide and protect their children. So this is it's a problem that's going to perpetuate itself. And I think working together with, as I indicated, government, all government departments, the NGO sector, I think we should achieve something. But, you know, there has to be that collaboration and understanding of what our children are being exposed to.
There's so much that I think you've given us to think about, to reflect on when it comes to dealing with this problem. And I guess it's not just a one problem issue. It's that there's so many other issues that we need to fix alongside it in order to deal with the high rate of teen pregnancies. Thank you both for your insight. Gian Dwarika, Deputy Director, Child Protection at the Department of Social Development, and Nomfundo Mokgabi, who's the CEO of the Center for Mental Wellness and Leadership. So, yeah, absolutely so much for us to think about. The next time you hear those teenage pregnancy numbers, think about this conversation. It's time for your latest news update.